ban on dueling by public officials should be removed from the Oregon Constitution. Supporters of the referendum say the ban on dueling isn't needed anymore. Hope they're right. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Morning, Jefferson. We're at it again. I'm here with my co-host, Terry Raposa, and our wonderful radio technician here, Mr. Bob Martin. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Gwen.
Hey, so we're going to be up and running here today. We're going to go to church a little bit, and we're going to talk about some fun stuff that needs to be happening. Want to let everybody know we've got a couple minor things we want to do real quick, and then we'll get into the meat of it. We're going to be having a State of Jefferson Formation meeting up in, or a town hall if you want to call it, up in Big Valley, which is Beaver, which is northern Lassen County, nestled in between Modoc and northeastern Shasta County. So what we're doing is we're inviting everybody up in that area, all three counties, to attend. It will be on Saturday, April 29th at 4 p.m. at the Veterans Memorial Hall on Bridge Street in Beaver. Again, Saturday, April 29th, 4 p.m. at the Veterans Hall in Beaver on Bridge Street. Come one, come all. Come check it out, see what's going on, learn what's really happening with Jefferson and where we are in the process. And we should have some more good news by then.
So hopefully we will.
Hopefully yeah. We will, yeah. So we're moving forward. So I just want to let everybody know that's where it's going to be, when it's going to be, and how it's going to be. So that's it for the town hall at the moment. If you have any questions about it, give us a call. And you can call in today, too, at 605-4567.
And also on tomorrow night, we're at the Patriot meeting. We're going to have Tim Pappas, who's a DA out of El Dorado County, used to be an assistant DA here in Shasta County, and he's a constitutional scholar. That starts at 6. And those of you that have heard Tim talk about the Constitution can really appreciate his knowledge. His sense of humor is great. He's just a fantastic speaker. That's 3276 Pacelli Lane tomorrow night at 6 at the Patriot meeting. But before that, we have our Jefferson meeting at 5:30. And what we've done, and some of the things like that Wynne had mentioned, that we're going to church a bit, I just want to talk to all you folks out there about our groups and our committees and things like that. Shasta County, and I can use them as an example just because I'm in Shasta County, meets once a week. Why do we meet once a week? Because we have an influx of new people. We meet once a week. At 5:30, we have our Jefferson meeting. Our Jefferson meeting has an orientation group. That's for folks who come in and say, hey, what's this Jefferson thing about? Or we want to know more about Jefferson. We have Chris Kellstrom, who takes care of that. He handles all the new people, along with Wynne Carpenter. And they do a great job in orientation. That's what we call that. At the same time, in another room, we have the group meet that are sort of the old patriots, the old guard, so to speak. People who've gone through orientation understand what Jefferson's about. We talk about fundraising. We talk about updating. We update everything that's going on, whether it be the court case, what events we have coming, new legislation that affects California. So it's another great part of that meeting. And that also lasts till 6 o'clock. Then at 6 o'clock, we have the Patriot meeting. Now, with the new people, we have an orientation. We don't necessarily pull them out of the orientation meeting to bring them in to the Patriot meeting, where the people who are already involved in Jefferson come into the Patriot meeting at 6. The reason for that is that we want to answer their questions. And something I kind of heard, and I kind of want to throw this out there to you guys, the thing that we've heard a lot is that, you know, our group doesn't meet once a week, we meet once a month, because our leader can't be there. Well, the idea is to learn the job of the guy above you and teach the guy below you yours. That's the deal here, is getting people, for example, this town hall we're talking about. That's going to be Wynne and Janet Chandler doing that town hall. What a great thing that is. Let's say that we have a meeting for Jefferson on Monday. Well, Wynne can't be there, but Jan Hanks can. Well, Jan Hanks can't be there, but Chris can. Well, Chris can't be there, but, you know, Janet Chandler can. Well, Janet Chandler can't be there, so Doc can. You see what I'm saying here? The point is that we have to start growing and understanding. We've got to be more impactful. We have to start meeting more often than once a month. That's 12 times a year, as opposed to maybe 45 or 50 times a year, where you can meet and get things done. Do you have anything to add to that, Wynn?
No, well, that's the action part of it. You have to have action. You can't just have a meeting for the sake of a meeting. And taking minutes for the sake of taking minutes of all that kind of stuff, just to have a record of what you're doing in that regard, that's a time gobbler. And so to take action, yes, you want to jot things down and you want to keep track of things. However, you want to do it in a way that's conducive to what you're really trying to do. Our team is great. We ask for volunteers on projects. We throw projects out on the table and we see what sticks. And not always does the first thing get thrown onto the table, does it come to play. It may be played out at a different time. Our team is very good about being sensitive to what really needs to happen for Jefferson. They don't get their feelings hurt. They understand that. We've worked through that. And people get it. They understand, you know, we're doing this for Jefferson, for all of us, not just for our own self-gratification on having ideas put together and what have you. We are working for Jefferson as a whole, for all of us to obtain sovereign statehood. And our team gets that, and they operate with that mindset. And we have talented people with many different talents that have come to the surface because of this, and this is how we operate, and this is why we operate. The brochures, for instance, the brochures that you see out there, we have talented people from Jefferson, from Shasta County, that have started that and worked through that. That thing has evolved into what it is now. It's been a mess at times. It's been frustrating at times because of information and what have you. But at the same time, we've worked through it. And so that's what you see now. And we work with other counties. That is the beauty of it. We work with other counties, making sure that we're putting everything forward that we need to. We're sensitive to listening to what everybody else has to say. And we're also not so involved in having our own little piece of the puzzle in there to make it work. If it doesn't fit, it doesn't fit. But it may fit elsewhere at a different time. So be patient and understanding and know that it will come to happen. And know that these things are going to take time. And it's a growth process for all of us. So that's what we do. That's how we've learned it so far. We've skinned our knees a few times. We've bumped our bumps and bruises and everything else. But you know what? That's part of growth. That's part of growing up and doing what we need to do the way we're doing it. This has not been done for over 150 years. And it certainly wasn't done on some of the things that we're doing now with what we're doing. I mean, so you have to understand it used to be, you know, it used to be word of mouth and you had to rely on what was being said. Well, now you can rely on what's being printed or put out there or having conversations over the phone, which is another great thing. We have a phone conference tonight. Those are the kind of things that we have. So things like that you have to be involved with, you have to get involved with and understand and share the word with everybody you know. So those are the kind of things that we have to do.
And your phone number?
For the conference tonight. Great. It's 712-770-4114. Again, 712-770-4114. And the password, once you get into the system, it'll ask for a password, and the password is 307-268-POUND. 307-268-POUND. And just get on there. It's the second and fourth Sundays of each month. And it's moderated by two beautiful ladies, Jenny Rapini and Diana Baird, and they do their best on the
other
end. And it's a scramble sometimes because of the technology being conducive to what we're trying to do. But it does work, and these two ladies are true patriots, and they are willing and able to do this, and they man it for us so we can get the word out through teleconferencing for everybody. So get on that, listen to what's going on, and then go to the chat room. Go to soj51.net and go into the chat for the phone conference. So you'll want to go in there and sign up, and you can actually type in a message. And if your message gets logged in there, if somebody hasn't already said it, or if there's a whole boatload of them, then they'll ask the questions that you ask. And so you can have that on your computer, and then you can also have your phone going, so you're truly involved with what really is going on with the meeting. And it's a great way to, again, learn what is really going on with Jefferson, not only in your county, but Jefferson-wide. And we have people listening from all over the country.
All over the country. A little boy from New Hampshire that Sally got an email from that she'll call in and read to us. If you notice what Wynn just talked about, he used some very good words. We, our, and team. He didn't use I or me. And I think that's the thing that's the bottom line to all of this. It isn't my committee. It isn't my people. It isn't my team. It's our, we, us team. And those are the things we have to really look at here. So if someone can't lead a meeting every week, then somebody else should. People need to step up. Remember, especially with the new folks coming in, and that's going to happen a lot once we file our lawsuit. It's happening right now. My wife must get 15 to sometimes 20 emails a day of people saying, we want to get involved. When's it going to happen? We're excited about this. We need to learn more. What we have to do is create that avenue. You know, this isn't going to be easy, and maybe part of that's on us. We haven't really said, you know, to each other, hey, you know, this is going to take some real work. Not, oh gosh, we had a good meeting last month, let's go eat some ice cream. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing we really have to understand. This is going to take effort. This is the real deal. And, you know, when we start talking about what's happening in California, especially with businesses, there's been 9,000 businesses that have left California in the last 10 years. 9,000, that's 900 a year. Some of these businesses had as many as 12,000 employees. I mean, Toyota, Carl's Jr., you know, when you look at the companies, and according to statistics, in California, the businesses that leave save 25 to 35% on their bottom line by leaving California. California, for the 11th straight year, has been rated as the worst place to do business in the United States.
Well, now, and that's scary if you think about it. When you say 9,000 a year, that's approximately, you know, 80 a month, which is approximately 2 a day. What the heck?
Yeah. You know, so with that, we want to go to Sally. She's online, too. Hey, babe.
Morning, Sally.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, I just wanted to let your listeners know that when they write into the SOJ51.net website and ask a question, I am the one that gets to answer all those questions. And I just got a letter today. One from Tulare County wanting to know what they have to do in order to make a committee and join us. But one that was really fun this morning was from Brandon, who was from New Hampshire, and he's 10 years old. And this is what he says. I really love that you're trying to become a state because you don't belong in either California or Oregon. You are your own people, and you should have your own state. Ask Congress to be declared a state. I want to move to one of your counties. I also want to meet you all in person. Once again, I really love that you're trying to become a state. Love always, Brandon.
Oh, that's cute.
Get his address. Let's send him a flag.
I wrote back and asked him, you know, how he found, I mean, New Hampshire. So from time to time, we do get people asking questions about what we're doing from out of state. And this one was all the way across the country. So I'm curious to know how he found out about us. So hopefully we'll hear back from Brandon.
Well, hon, maybe we can send him a flag, huh?
Yeah.
There you go. Awesome. From the great mind of a 10-year-old.
Absolutely. All right, guys.
Thanks,
continue
Sally.
On.
And now, isn't it amazing? A 10-year-old gets it. And he wants to move across country.
But Ted Gaines doesn't get it.
Yeah, none of them do. None of them that are our employees.
Jim Nielsen doesn't get it.
Board of Supervisors doesn't get it. City Council doesn't get it. We get it. Guess what?
Well, I've got a guy here that does get it. Hey, Kimasabi, Mark Beard.
Good morning, Mark.
Morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good, and you?
Good. I'd like to read you something real quick here.
Okay.
The great experiment and promise of independence, we the people, that launched the American Revolution and led to the United States of America was based upon the fundamental founding organic principles of no taxation without representation and give me liberty or give me death. Sadly, that fundamental founding principle of representation, that the people themselves provide the basis for governmental sovereignty and legitimacy, has been lost and forgotten in the California legislature. The neglect of we the people as the organic basis for this nation's self-governance stems from the cap the California government placed upon the number of senators, limited to 40, and assembly members, limited to 80, in 1862 when the population of the state was less than 420,000 people. This cap has created an oligarchy inconsistent with the representative self-governance because the same number of legislators, 120 total, now attempts to represent California's present population of 40 million people. By any metric, this is impossible. 120 legislators cannot possibly represent 40 million people in any effective and meaningful manner contemplated by the United States Constitution and the amendments thereto. Since the end of the Civil War, through more recent times, the United States has consistently strengthened its commitment to representative forms of self-governance by ratification of constitutional amendments and treaties designed to promote the people's participation in governing at both the national and state levels. California's refusal to increase its levels of legislative representation to reflect its dramatically growing population is both arbitrary and unconstitutional. Those are the first couple of paragraphs to the complaint for the lawsuit we are about to file against the state of California.
Sounds good to me.
Fantastic.
I like it. Yeah.
So I have the final complaint. It's open right in front of me. I'm going through it, not to edit the attorney's work, but just to read it and to see whether there are arguments that I would like to see added or not. It is a very good document. It's going to be, in all probability, finished by this evening. At that point, this complaint will be sent to all the county governments and to all of the plaintiffs who are either joined or we want to join the lawsuit. And once we have approval of at least one county, more would be better, then this lawsuit will be filed. I just want to ask everyone, you guys were just talking about businesses bailing out of California. And Terry and I were talking earlier about the death by a thousand cuts. I mean, I just want to ask people, what's your line? How many cuts for you? When are you willing to get off your backside and actually do something about these things that are so obviously wrong with this state that they defy description? Is it another 18 cents a gallon gas tax? Well, that's here. Or maybe the 20 cent a gallon gas tax for diesel? Well, that's already here. Or is it an increase in DMV fees? Oh, wait a minute, that came yesterday. All of your cars are going to cost you more money. Now, who pays that? Is it people in Los Angeles who drive 5 miles to work, or people in rural areas who have to drive 25 miles to get the mail? Is it farmers who own 5 or 6 diesels that they have to use every day to bring their products to market to feed the people in the cities? Or is it the people in the cities themselves who don't pay for any of that stuff? How does cap and trade affect you? Is it a tax that you don't see that the California courts just decided was okay? Is it the taxes that you do see? Is it the SRA fire fee that didn't go to fight any fires? Could it be that crooked water bond that all of our representatives voted for? None of our counties did in their plebiscites, but our representatives voted for it anyway because they share so many counties they can afford to ignore the bulk of us because they don't depend upon us for their money and for their votes. Is it that not 1 cent was spent on water storage? Or will it be the next water bond that the governor's preparing because now he knows he has to spend a few bucks down in Oroville? He's known, the state's known about that for 15 years and spent nothing. So did the 200,000 of you that were run out of your houses when the Oroville Dam spillway started to fail, was that inconvenient enough to get you to work? Or is it the next water bond that's going to cost the people of California another $360 million a year for the next 40 years, in addition to the water bond we already are paying $360 million a year for the next 40 years? Well, what is it for you? Is it the loss of your Second Amendment rights? Is it the fact that your children are going to move away from the state and never come back? Is it the fact that your children will move away from your county and never come back? What is it for you? What's it going to take to get people to participate in this? I mean, or are you just content to be chained to the table, and if your master, the state of California, flicks a scrap off the table, you happily grab that like the Republican Party does in most of California? I mean, are we slaves? Is our liberty to be, is our safety and our security to be purchased at the price of slavery and chains? Is that okay with you? And if not, why aren't you already helping us?
You nailed it, my good friend, as usual.
Amen.
Mark, we're going to have to go to a break. We got a hard break. Folks, think a little bit about what this gentleman just said. It's spot on. Do you have a line in the sand? If you do, where is it? 605-4567, 605-4567. We'll see you on the other side. The time has come.
451.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday, April 21st at 7:30 a.m. on Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Lawlessness. The cause of lawlessness is the absence of godly moral values. Godly moral values are absolute and unchangeable. This absence of godly morals is the result of the deliberate killing of God in the hearts and minds of people, beginning with our children. This is done by corrupt leaders so that they are the ones who decide what is morally right or wrong. Look around you. What you see is the result of this kind of moral decay. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, kcnr1460.com.
Well, we're moving on up. Just to get up.
moving on up. We're moving on up quickly. We're hoping quickly. Hey, Mark, you still lingering out there?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Hey, that was great, Mark. I think you really put in a nutshell what the crux is of this whole argument about representation, about that we have to do something. It's up to us. And you said it so many times. And before I go any further, Nick, if you're out there, buddy, I know you called in. It's fine, folks. If you want to call in while Mark's on the line, that'd be fantastic. 605-4567, 605-4567. And, Mark, you can stay on with us for the duration of the show, yeah?
Yes, I will.
Great. But I have to say that you really hit the crux of the whole situation. If we're going to do it, and you've said it, as I was saying, you've said it so many times, and that is that it's all up to us. We're in this. The people are in this. We're not going to get help from the legislative body. Can you elaborate on that, please?
Say that again, Terry. I missed about half of it.
Okay. Basically, what I said was is that it's really up to us to get the work done. You know, we have to put the time and the effort in as a free people, and we really have to do that. We can't rely on our legislative body to help us at this point.
Well, no. I mean, no one's going to help us. You know, it's funny because you look at these things and you have your hopes and your dreams, and you think that in a world where things are right and people are thinking about what's morally correct and what are the right things to do, that you could appeal to a legislator and have him see some wisdom in causes of action that are correct and right and moral and ethical. And they don't. They have one interest, and that's self-serving. And the reason they have that interest is they're not genuinely accountable to the people they're supposed to serve. And you look at, say, Ted Gaines is a great example of that in Senate District 1. He's got 11 counties. He couldn't care less what the people of Siskiyou County or of Lassen County or Modoc County want, think, feel, do. It doesn't matter to him because the number of votes, even though those counties have unique interests and unique geography, where it comes to groundwater or timber management or resource management or environmental concerns or tax concerns, I don't know, business concerns, I don't care what it is. They represent such a small minority of the money that it takes to get him in that chair and get that CalPERS going. And, you know, that he couldn't care less what you think or want. He's not going to help you. Jim Nielsen is not going to help us, because if he helps us, he'll lose a little piece of the crown that he's got yanked down tight on his head, and the things that he gets and the prestige that he enjoys and the important place of honor that he has in the California Senate. Those things are far more important to those guys than what you want, what you think, what you need, or what your children need. Quite frankly, yeah. I mean, sometimes they'll pull a rabbit out of the hat, but it ain't bloody likely, and it's not very often. You look at James Gallagher, who ran on the promise of introducing Jefferson legislation. The absolute lie. Once he got elected, never talked to us since. I understand that he's got some weak bill that he's going to introduce, about representation. I don't know what it is, but he'll never make it out of committee, because even if James was an honest guy, which he's not, and he's proven himself to be a liar, once that bill gets into committee, the mob of Democrats from Los Angeles can stop that all by themselves. Because look at it this way, everybody. The county of Los Angeles has proportionately more representation than any county in California. Literally, with very little help, they can stop any bill or pass any bill they want to. 51% of the representation in the state of California is from Los Angeles County south to the Mexican border. They can pass any bill they want, and they can stop any bill they want. And you just look at most of the Second Amendment things, all initiated by California state senators. The SRA fire fee, California state senator, the Indian gaming casino in the northernmost county in California, Los Angeles state senator. You look at all of these things, Los Angeles state senators are behind 90% of them. And that's tyranny. I don't care where you come from, that's tyranny. I don't care what you like, that's tyranny. I don't even care what you want, that is still tyranny. You have no say in your own affairs. Does that bother anybody but me? Does that bother anybody in a meaningful way so that they'll get off their butt and help us win this thing? I hope so, because we need the help.
Well, the attack of the Second Amendment has been outrageous. I know that Gallagher has put the anti-SB 54 bill up, and of course, it didn't really go anywhere. It didn't have any legs. He's up for election. It's all show and talk and show and tell, and how he just feels outraged that, you know, that we're going to become a sanctuary state. Well, where were you 3 months ago, and where are you with Jefferson, and what's your answer? That's the most frustrating thing to most of us. What is your answer? What's your plan? Oh, you have no plan. Well, what's your plan, Jim? Oh, my plan is to keep on swinging. Well, how does that work? We've got a plan. How about backing us in our plan? And right now, after I just did my little rant, we're going to bring on Nick from Reading in the nick of time. Hey, buddy.
Good morning. Hey, I'd like to address some things about how the state of Jefferson is going to be different. And, you know, we're going to be able to make our own laws on immigration, education, and crime. And the reason we're going to be able to do that is we're not going to be beholden to the federal government for our economic survival, because we're supporting the new royalty class of America, which is the government workers. You know, all our money is going to, the money that for infrastructure and everything's going to retirements. And this is getting pretty old. You take a look at Shasta County, who won't draw a line in the sand on the sanctuary. You know, we have Mike Warren drawing $20,000 a month. We have Leonard Modi drawing $185,000 a year, retirement. You have a guy named Phil Perry, who was in charge of zoning for the city of Dreading, drawing over $10,000. Our money is supporting them, and they need to keep paying taxes to keep that going. You take this 12-cent gas tax, they're going to take a whole bunch of that and put that into the general fund. And how are we going to alleviate that with the state of Jefferson? I suspect we'll have a retirement system that maybe they'll be in Social Security with maybe a 401-type deal going on, and we won't be liable for these exorbitant retirement fees. I'm here on Transparent California right now, and the number one guy is Eric Pasinger. He's a police deputy chief out of Los Angeles. This guy is drawing $1,462,770 a year.
What?
And he's been retired since 2011.
Can you say that again?
What structure do you think that would fix?
Can you say that again, that figure again, slowly? I mean, I've got to let that sink in a bit. Now, this is a retirement for a cop. Go ahead.
$1 million, $1,462,770.
Wow.
That's before benefits.
Wow.
And he's been retired since 2011.
Wow.
I suspect the state of Jefferson will come up with a fair retirement plan that maybe reflects the citizens who they're supposed to be serving. And, you know, we won't be servicing these exorbitant benefits.
What's your thoughts on that, Mark?
Well, I mean, that's certainly one thing. Yeah, you know, we've been talking about this for years, literally, that our pension plan will be a defined contribution. In other words, the day you get hired, you're going to get a statement. If you stay here 20 years, this is how much will be in your retirement account. And the county or the state can budget for that. And if a county or state can't afford that employee based upon his benefits package, don't hire him. You know, that's the way that goes. We all have to live within our means. Gosh, I'd like to hire people to do all kinds of things around my place, but I can't afford them, so I don't. I do it myself.
But
if I can't afford to hire someone in my business, I hire them, but based upon California's taxation scheme and benefits scheme and increase in minimum wage, I'm not hiring anybody. I can't afford to hire them. So I go without the help. And that's how we have to do this. Counties and the state have to budget for these things. And if you can budget for it, fine, hire the guy. If you can't, don't hire him. New
that's
employees
my
to
point
our system.
Is
if you can afford to accept
system.
The package that's being presented to you, accept it. If you can't afford it, look for a different job. That's how this should work. This open-ended deal where people can take millions of dollars off the taxpayers and we have no idea what they're going to get in advance. That's absolutely ridiculous stupidity. And if an average person ran their finances that way, they'd be in bankruptcy court in a year.
and this has made us a welfare system. You take the county of Shasta. Now, they're afraid to pull the trigger on not being a sanctuary state because we'll lose funding.
Well, let me add something to that, too. We are a sanctuary county. We are a sanctuary county. I was on a radio program yesterday, and Nick, you called into it, too, where the host thought that that was an opinion. That's not an opinion. There are sanctuary counties that are listed as sanctuary counties. Our sheriff will explain all the particulars to that, but basically it's a catch-and-release situation, and that's how you get to be a sanctuary county. For example, Shasta is, Tuolumne County is not. We already are. So the position of what the Board of Supervisors took in Shasta County is they wrote a stern letter. Now, I don't know whether that was a really stern letter, a sort of stern letter, a mildly stern letter, or just a stern letter. I'm not really sure. And I'm not sure what that's going to accomplish. But I think we have to distinguish between opinion and fact. The fact is, fact, although I'll say the word fact, Shasta County is a sanctuary county.
And I'm ashamed of it.
Yeah, I am too. And Mark, I know that Siskiyou County signed a resolution saying basically that they would not comply with the illegal state law of a sanctuary state, but comply with the jurisdiction of the federal government through the Constitution that immigration is a federal issue.
And that's what I want my county representatives to do also. You know,
well, I've got to say, guys, it took the people in Siskiyou County a couple of years, but we have a great Board of Supervisors. I mean, they listen to their constituents. They don't do everything we want. We don't agree with every decision they make, but they're not afraid to tell us the truth, and we're not afraid to show up and demand the truth. And it was funny because I was at one meeting recently where one of the supervisors, a gal, got up and just read him the riot act. And he sat there very patiently, and when she was finished, he said, I respect your opinion, and I'm glad you feel empowered to stand before us and read me the riot act. And I'm paraphrasing, obviously. He said, now, here are the reasons why I think you're wrong. I think your logic and your thinking is incorrect, and these are the facts as I understand them. And then he explained his position. Now, you know, we don't always get what we want. We don't always get agreement, but at least we get the truth or an attempt at the truth in our county. But we have much smaller districts. I mean, yes, geographically we're big, but people-wise we're not. And so you can see how a supervisor that represents, you know, we have 40,000 people in Siskiyou County, so a supervisor, we have five supervisors, so that's about 8,000 per. Well, that basically is pretty fair representation compared with most of California, and your voice carries more weight because it only takes 4,000 votes to win an election in for a supervisor in Siskiyou County, 4,001. So you can see it's very easy to get rid of somebody that isn't doing a good job, and that's what we propose for the state of California.
Well, and
we
you're right.
We propose that it be easy to get rid of someone who isn't doing a good job by making the district smaller and giving you more voice in your representation. How many people does a board of supervisor guy represent in Shasta County? Probably 50,000 or 60,000. Well, I suggest to you that it's very difficult to get rid of an incumbent because it costs a lot of money. And therefore, your voice is worthless. Your vote is worthless. Showing up is worthless. Now, you have to try. You got to keep going. But it's much more difficult to make your voice heard when you're drowned out by a mob.
And when we do elect them and they run on a certain platform, Gallagher, Les Baugh, et cetera, when they run on and say they're going to do something and they flat out, let's just call it what it is, lie to the people. They lie to the people. They say they will do one thing and do another. That's something that's a little more difficult to combat. But we've had that in Shasta County. I know you don't have that in Siskiyou, but we've had that in Shasta County for years and years. They just come on there, they say they're going to do one thing, and then they come out and they do a complete other thing. I guess it's...
Well, you have to also ask you, where does their money come from? I mean, in other words, are the county employees' unions making such large contributions to these political campaigns that when these guys go to the board every day, it's I-O,
yes.
It's off to work I go. Or do they truly represent the will of their constituents? And I suggest that they probably don't. I know in California they don't, because the state employees' unions own this state. They literally own you, they own your way of life, and they own this state. And CalPERS, CalSTRS,
They're the largest contributors to political campaigns. You ask yourself about the water bond. The water bond was nothing but a pork project. And that pork project, something like the last bill that just passed for the gas tax increase, there was so much pork in that that it's very unlikely that any money will be spent on infrastructure. So here again, we pay the highest road taxes in the nation, but almost none of it is spent on roads. It goes into the general fund, and it goes into pork projects, and it goes to groups who turn around and contribute to Democratic political campaigners.
With that, Kemosabe, we've got to head for a break, but hey, folks, do you have a line in the sand? What is your line in the sand? Time has come.
For 51.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Nick.
Well, the truth, well, it hurts to say, I'm gonna pack up my bags and I'm gonna go away. I'm gonna split, I can't stand it. I'm gonna give it up and quit, ain't never coming back. But before I get to going, I got to say, I know you used to love me, but that was yesterday. And the truth, I won't fight it. When the love starts burning, you got to do what's right. Oh, lover, 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 you don't treat me no good no more. Oh, lover, 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 you don't treat me no good no more.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
The Red Bluff Roundup is on April 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. Get your tickets now. $250,000 is up for grabs with 600 of the toughest cowboys. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in the country. Tickets are on sale now, so grab the good seats while you can. It's constant action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, and wild pony riding, rodeo clowns, and more. Friday night, brought to you by Food Max and Tri-County Bank. Gates open at 5, rodeo at 7, and an after party with live music of Northern Heat. Saturday is Wells Fargo Bank and Red Bluff Dodge Day. Gates open at 12 and rodeo at 2:30, and an evening concert by Nashville recording artist Granger Smith.
If the boot fits.
Whoa, whoa. And Sunday is St. Elizabeth's Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 1:30. Get your tickets now at the Roundup office or online at redbluffroundup.com.
It's termite swarm season again, when termites quickly expand their already large colonies. Because of the quiet and hidden nature of termites, they are often undetected until the damage has already occurred. If you suspect your house has termites, call the professionals at Big Time Pest Control immediately for a free estimate. Big Time Pest Control will guarantee extermination of termites, insects, spiders, and rodents. Call 530-242-8830. Big Time service at a price you can afford. Big Time Pest Control.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Any love is good love. So I took what I could get. Yes, I took what I could get. And then she looked at me with the big red eyes and said, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Nothing yet.
All righty, since we haven't seen anything yet, I've got a couple things, little housekeeping things I want to keep throw out to you folks. First thing is a reminder for the meeting tonight. Again, it's the second and fourth Sundays of each month, and it's a conference call. And the phone number is 712-770-4114, and the password is 307-268-pound. Again, 712-770-4114, 307-268-pound is the password. So get on there, listen what's going on, and hear what everybody's talking about. And then one of our trusty teammates here in Shasta County, Bob and his team have been out securing locations for additional signage throughout the county. So I just kind of wanted to let everybody know where you're going to be seeing these most recent signs. On Leo Jones's property out in Bella Vista, and Skunk Works Harley-Davidson dealer off of I-5 on Twin View Boulevard, statewide on East Side Road, and then also Klein Equipment Rental in Round Mountain. And there's always a sign out there across from Wind River on private property that we have a private property landowner that has been gracious enough to let us put it out there. So those are the most recent ones that we have out there, and as more come, we'll let you know. But we know there have been many others that are out there, but these are the most recent. So I just wanted to give you an update on that. Also, hey, Mark, you got my email yesterday, right?
I don't know which one.
The big one. The big one that says State of Jefferson Formation received their 501c4 status from the IRS. It's the only.
Yes, I did get that. I think that's fantastic. Yeah.
It's the only piece of governmental paperwork that we've received that's positive.
Yeah, only I think piece. The only reason we got that is because people are suing them for denying conservative organizations the right to operate under 501.
There you go. And we received it. It's good. It's going to be put into our system on our website as it gets updated. So for all the listeners out there that are questioning, you know, whether they're going to donate and whether we're a legit 501c4, we are a 501c4 as of the date stamp that the letter was sent to us. It was March 23rd, 2017 is when they date stamped it. So there you go. We're it. We're there. And our tax prepper is going to make sure everything's done in line with that. And we're doing everything we need to be doing to date. So we're keeping our nose clean, playing by the rules that are before us from the IRS and as an organization that we need to comply with. And so I just wanted to let everybody know that we do indeed have it.
You know, great. Hey, also, as soon as I hang up, I've got to call our attorneys again because I've got a conference call set up for today to finish this complaint and get all the issues that we are talking about corrected in the complaint, and then I will be sending that to you, and we're going to need to send that to all of the places where county governments want to become plaintiffs. So I think this is a fantastic piece of news. We're there. You know, we just have one more bridge to cross, and we get this thing filed, and we are going to rock California's world. We are going to win this suit, but we need help from the people of the state of Jefferson. We still need money. We've got to be able to pay these guys, the lawyers. They're working hard for us. They're working for half price, but they need to eat and feed their families. So we've got to pay these guys, and we need money to win this lawsuit. We can win this thing, everybody, and it's going to dramatically change the way California does business. And if we get our way, it's going to create a state of Jefferson. So that's something that's worth money to me. Is
Amen.
It worth any money to you? What's it worth to you to have liberty? What's it worth to you to have freedom for your children? What's it worth to you to have a true Second Amendment in a state of Jefferson? What is liberty worth to you today?
Amen. And do you know, we're receiving funds from people from across the country, which is amazing to me because, like Sally said earlier, we got the email from the young man in New Hampshire. Well, we're getting money from people from Maine and Florida and down the eastern seaboard. We've received checks from those people, and we're getting money. We've gotten money from somebody in Chicago. Hello, Chicago of all places. you know, you think about that. People are interested, and they're understanding what's going on. Maybe they have a family connection to Jefferson Territory. Maybe they came from there.
I think it goes deeper than that, because if we win in the United States Supreme Court, and we will, and thank the Lord for the appointment of Judge Gorsuch,
Amen.
Because with Judge Gorsuch, we will win.
Yes.
And what that will do is change the representative ratio in every county in the United States of America. Folks, this is, you know, I hate to think this big because it's a little scary, but if we win this case, it's going to change the way every state does business. We could go a long way toward putting the train back on the track, so to speak, for liberty. And we could do that in every state because, quite frankly, the people of Illinois don't have representation. Chicago drives that boat.
That's right.
The people in California don't have representation. Los Angeles drives the entire state. The people in New York don't have representation. New York City runs the entire state. The people in Florida don't have representation. Miami runs the entire state. Do you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
This
yes.
will change the way the United States fundamentally deals with states. It will return us to a constitutional model of government where people in rural areas deserve representation too,
and
we'll get it. But we need your help. The time, you know, I mean, it is time for the summer soldier and the sunshine patriot to disappear. Those that stand with us now could change the course of history. And I just want to know, will you stand and be counted? Will you? Or will you just say, oh, gosh, this is really great, I hope they win, and then change to the football game? That's the question I'm asking you today. What is your liberty worth to you? What is your liberty? What's the liberty of your children worth to you? Is it worth $2 or $5 or $10? Or is it worth $100 or $1,000?
Right.
What will you pay to gain freedom for yourself and your children?
Amen.
With that, we have Jimmy on the line. Jimmy, you got about 2 minutes, and then we've got to cut you off. What you got, buddy?
Yep, I'll expedite this really quick. Now, it seems like you guys were talking about earlier that all these representatives, all these city council people, when they get voted into office, they always do a massive television campaign, and that takes money. Well, the State of Jefferson movement, we're concentrating our money, it seems to me, in the legal aspect. Well, do you guys ever think about getting free advertisement by going to one of the national, like the Today Show or something like that, and having like somebody like Mark Baird pitch our idea on a national platform? And that's all I have to say, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Yeah, Jimmy, timing is everything. And yes, to answer your question, yes. But timing is everything, so keep watching. We are like a duck on the water. You know, you see them just floating along, but the little legs underneath are working like crazy. That's the team of Jefferson. So.
And one of the challenges we have is the media is in the liberal tank. So that kind of stymies that. You know, you have a bunch of socialists and communists running our news media. And, of course, they follow the liberal mantra and the George Soroses of the world. So there's that, too. Locally and with as many conservative outlets as we can get and fair outlets as we can get, we've been doing that. But as Wynn said, it's all in the timing. Once we file our court case, believe me, buddy, get in, hold on, and shut up. With that, Mark, do you have any closing things you want to leave us with? We got about 3 minutes here, buddy. Mark, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I was just thinking for a second. I don't know. I think I pretty much said it all. I guess we just need to look inward here. I guess we just need to look at ourselves. We need to go stand in the bathroom and look in the mirror. Because if we fail to secure liberty for our posterity, that's the only job the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States, they only give us one job as a citizen, and that is to secure liberty for our posterity. What's this worth to you? You know, it was worth something to our founders. It was worth their lives, their treasure, and their sacred honor. What's it worth to you? What will you do to secure liberty for your posterity? And I'm calling you out on this. I'm calling every one of you out on this. We know what we give. We know what we could give. We all know that. It's a personal question. But what I'm saying is the time has come for 51, and it will not happen without you.
God bless you, Kemosabe. Hi-ho silver, buddy.
I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks.
Thank you, Mark. And Mark is absolutely right. Again, we're going to be having a town hall in North Lassen County, and we're inviting anybody who wants to go. Just you can go. But we took it up there for being able to get to the more rural counties like Modoc and northeastern Shasta County for the folks that weren't able to come down to Redding. It's a jaunt to do that. So we're doing that on Saturday, April 29th at 4 p.m. at the Veterans Memorial Hall on Bridge Street in Beaver. So come one, come all. And also tonight we are having that meeting, once again, the conference call. 712-770-4114, extension or password 307-268-pound. All right.
Time has come
for 51.
We'll yeehaw!
Bye.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. ISIS is claiming two deadly bombings of churches in Egypt this morning. 43 people killed, more than 100 injured, as they celebrated Palm Sunday, the start of Holy Week.
The explosions have drawn condemnation from a variety of institutions and governments and leaders, most significantly Pope Francis, the Roman Catholic Pope, expressed his condolences for Egypt's Christian community and for his sort of fellow Pope, Tewodros II, who is the leader of the Egyptian Coptic Church. Pope Francis will actually be coming to Egypt on